This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Shift in America's longest war. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, August 22nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Acknowledging he has changed his approach, President Trump has announced new policies for the war in Afghanistan.
Dozens of people have been injured after a passenger train crashed in suburban Philadelphia.
With 10 sailors missing after another collision at sea, the Navy is pausing operations in the Pacific to review things like the training of personnel.
And being prepared for a job interview by knowing the most popular questions that are asked.
If the job requires a lot of face-to-face time with customers, you say, my strength is customer service. And then what you do is discuss a specific example of something you've done in past jobs where you went above and beyond for customer service.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the most common questions asked during a job interview. She's here in about 20 minutes. There's been a train crash in suburban Philadelphia with dozens of injuries. More than 40 people were hurt just after midnight today when a train barreled into an unoccupied train car at a busy terminal. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Southeast Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, or SEPTA, says a high-speed train was arriving at the 69th Street Transportation Center in Upper Darby when it crashed into an empty train car that was sitting in the terminal. SEPTA officials say that while none of the injuries are life-threatening, at least four of the injured are in critical condition. Authorities say service will resume as scheduled in time for today's morning commute, although with one track out of service, delays should be expected. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 8 minutes after the hour. President Trump, who once advocated a full withdrawal from Afghanistan before the election, says his perspective is different now that he's in the Oval Office. The president last night said he would expand the U.S. role in the nearly 16-year war, which would include an approach that's tougher on neighboring Pakistan and does not offer timelines. But he added that the U.S. would not remain in Afghanistan indefinitely, nor write a blank check. In addition, the president weaved in a message about peace.
Our wars abroad deserve to return to a country that is not at war with itself at home. We cannot remain a force for peace in the world if we are not at peace with each other.
Mr. Trump also said the U.S. would end the goal of trying to forge U.S. democratic values in Afghanistan and would avoid discussions of troop numbers and battle plans, repeating his criticism of the Obama administration's publicly stated timetable there. He says withdrawing now would leave the country vulnerable to a takeover by the kinds of terrorists who organized the 9/11 attacks. Millions of Americans may have solar eclipse hangover today after witnessing broad daylight turn to near darkness for a brief moment yesterday.
It got very dark
and
very
cold.
Fast.
And cold.
Yeah, I'm cold and my neck is killing me, but it was pretty cool.
The moon's shadow blanketed a 70-mile-wide stretch from Oregon to South Carolina, the first total eclipse of the sun in the U.S. since 1918. A social media analytics company called TalkWalker estimated there were almost 11 million social media posts about the eclipse in the last 7 days. All told, 200 million people were within a day's drive of the zone of totality, as it was called, at one rest area along I-95 near Santee, South Carolina. The Wall Street Journal says cars were parked four deep by mid-morning.
We got kind of lucky, actually, because it was misty out, so you could barely see anything, and then all of a sudden it was covered up, and all you can see is this halo.
That guy watched from Oregon. An astrophysicist at Villanova University says he was inspired that some 40 million people were looking at the same thing at the same time. Oh, by the way, Challenger Gray and Christmas estimated the cost of the day's lost productivity at nearly $700 million. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Omaha Steaks offers a huge variety from premium steaks to skillet meals. This summer, I've enjoyed grilling them at barbecues. They also make the perfect business gift. Their gifts offer unique home cooking experiences from a trusted brand known for quality. Right now, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique with an exclusive offer. Order the perfect business gift to try the Omaha Steaks gift experience for yourself or send it as a gift. The perfect business gift includes 4 bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 gourmet franks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, plus free shipping and 4 caramel apple tartlets. This exclusive package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. Again, omahasteaks.com. Enter the code DEAL in the search bar to send or experience this exclusive gift package for only $59.99. Welcome into Tuesday. A Texas man with previous convictions related to explosives has been arrested after allegedly being caught with small bombs at the site of a Confederate statue at a park in Houston. Prosecutors yesterday alleged that 25-year-old Andrew Schneck was caught on Saturday evening near a statue of Richard Dowling, a lieutenant in the Confederate Army. Meanwhile, accelerated efforts by cities and activists across the U.S. to remove Confederate monuments has thrust a lineage society called the United Daughters of the Confederacy into the fray because of its influential role in spreading these memorials. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz. Jennifer, what have you discovered?
Well, it's interesting because, the United Daughters of the Confederacy is a group founded in 1894, and they were an organization that was behind a lot of these statues, including many that are now being targeted for removal and in some cases vandalized. So this is really hitting them, and one woman told me that they're reeling from this because this was the work that they engaged in, many years ago.
Wow. So their reaction to what's happening is what?
They are, first of all, they're a very private organization, so they don't issue statements. They tend to not get involved politically. But I did talk with several leaders in the group, and they are kind of mixed. First of all, some of them feel that they should just stay out of this and stay out of this debate, and others want to speak out in defense of the monuments. They feel hurt that, they feel terrible about what happened in Charlottesville, where the deadly rally where the initial demonstrations were kicked off, over this planned removal of the Robert E. Lee statue. So they feel terrible about that. They feel bad that, very bad that, a white supremacist group had latched on to this debate. They completely, disavow that group. They have no ties to that. So they're upset with that. At the same time, they see these monuments as honoring the bravery of their ancestors. And so the women I spoke with don't feel that they should be removed, and they're sort of, they're upset at the haste with which this is happening, and in some cases, they're being taken away, like in Baltimore during the night, and so it's put them in a very uncomfortable position.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz. She's based in Boston and has written a piece entitled "Daughters of Confederacy Reeling from Memorial Removals." Do they plan to do anything at this point in time?
So far, they have not spoken out publicly. They tend to not get engaged in too many public battles, and it's unclear what they could do legally, because these monuments, their role was typically where they would be fundraisers and organizers, and then they would gift the monuments to a city or county, and they would so they may not have any claim to them, although it's possible in some cases they might have something. But one thing they are doing that's interesting is some local officials are just asking them, hey, do you want this back? And in some cases, they've taken it back and they're taking it to, you know, a safer space, like a cemetery, or in California, they took one back and it's in a storage shed where till they can figure out what to do with it. So that's happening.
Wow. What about initially some of these monuments some time ago, right, were put in cemeteries. What about those?
Right. So yeah, after the Civil War, you know, the Southern women were really suffering because they lost so many men. They had so many such heavy casualties. So originally, you had a lot of these women's organizations crop up to put these monuments and memorials in cemeteries, and they were more somber. And then at some point, things kind of changed in the early, you know, early 1900s, late 1800s, where the Daughters of the Confederacy, you know, they got behind a lot of these memorials, and they were more a little grander, and they were more in public. And these are the ones that are more controversial now.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump is vowing to win what has seemed to be an unwinnable war, but exactly how he plans to do so is still murky. In a 26-minute address to the nation last night, Trump alluded to more U.S. troops deploying to Afghanistan, but didn't say how many.
When I became president, I was given a bad and very complex hand. But I fully knew what I was getting into. Big and intricate problems. But one way or another, these problems will be solved. I'm a problem solver.
Trump provided no specific timetable for the end of a U.S. commitment that has lasted 16 years. Navy and Marine Corps divers will enter flooded compartments on the USS John S. McCain to search for 10 sailors missing after the destroyer and an oil tanker collided in Southeast Asian waters. Meanwhile, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson says the Navy will investigate this and other recent incidents.
I want this to be a broad and diverse team, including officer and enlisted from across the Navy, and also people outside the Navy, the other services and the private sector.
Richardson announced there will be a pause in the Navy's global operations and patrols. Spanish police say they have scientific evidence that a fugitive shot to death yesterday was the man who drove a van through Barcelona's crowded promenade, killing more than a dozen people last week. Authorities say the 22-year-old man flashed what turned out to be a fake suicide belt to two troopers who shot him in a vineyard. It was the event of the century as millions gazed in wonder at the eclipse yesterday, with the best seats along the path of totality that spanned the country from Oregon to South Carolina. This Oregon man says it was quite the spectacle.
We got kind of lucky, actually, because it was misty out, so you could barely see anything, and then all of a sudden it was covered up, and all you can see is this halo.
Stars came out in the middle of the day. Zoo animals ran in circles. Birds fell silent, and a chilly darkness settled upon parts of the U.S. that were in the direct path of the event.
I feel really left out of things here in New Jersey, right?
We were gypped.
Yeah, you're ripped off. What did we get, 70-something percent of an eclipse?
It didn't look like anything.
I think this... One site said I was 570-something miles away from being near the totality zone.
Yeah, we were a little out of it.
I want my money back. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Want to be prepared for your next job interview? Have an understanding of the most common questions that will be asked during the process. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Excited but dreading your upcoming job interview? Don't worry, the key is preparation. Katie Hill, editor at Money-ish, says no matter where you interview, you're likely to get some of the same questions over and over. Katie, what's one of the most common ones?
Yeah, this data comes from the career site Glassdoor, and they asked thousands of people, you know, what were you asked during your interview? And they came up with some of the five most asked questions. Number one being, what are your strengths? Here's the way to approach that the best way. First of all, you need to have two or three strengths in mind. Don't just mention one. And the way you do it, choose strengths that are essential to the job you're applying for. So if the job requires a lot of like face-to-face time with customers, you say, my strength is customer service. And then what you do is discuss a specific example of something you've done in past jobs where you went above and beyond for customer service. And then to really put the icing on the cake, add a tangible result in there too. So like something that really benefited the company from you doing this. That is the way to really nail that question.
Of course, Katie, on the flip side, is a question about your weaknesses. When I was asked this, I always came up with something like, I'm impatient and sometimes I do things too quickly. I mean, how do you possibly come up with something that doesn't sound bad?
I mean, you look, first of all, only share one weakness. And you want to make sure that the weakness is something that's not central to the job that you're applying for. And then you show how you've overcome it. So you might say, oh, I can be too detail oriented, but then you sort of flip that around, be like, well, sometimes this actually works to my advantage, or, you know, or show how you've overcome it, but only do one and really show how you've overcome that weakness.
What's another common question?
Why are you interested in working for the company is a big question. Here is where doing your past research is really going to help you. You want to look at the values and the culture of the company before you go into that interview. And then you want to show how what you want to do with your career really aligns with the vision and values that they say are important to the company. The other thing, I got this from a career coach, and I thought it was a really great tip. She said, set a Google alert for the company so you get news alerts about it. And then, you know, read, like, let's say there was a news alert interviewing the CEO of the company. You could even reference that in an interview. That to a recruiter is going to say, wow, this person went above and beyond researching this company. A+, let's move them to the next round of interviews.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish. Katie, another question that comes up, the one about where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? How do you answer that one?
Don't panic. Okay, the number one thing here really to do is show passion, excitement, and confidence. So even if you don't have the perfect 5 to 10 year plan, if you seem super passionate about the position and the company, that's going to go a long way.
This morning's Jennifer Koshenka with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Tuesday, August 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump announces a new tack in Afghanistan. The Navy pauses operations in the Pacific after its most recent collision. Dozens injured after a train crash outside Philadelphia this morning. Spanish police say they've killed the van driver who mowed down a crowd in Barcelona. Second trial for Bill Cosby begins today. Summer airline tickets are expected to drop today. A dozen Cleveland Browns players took a knee during last night's national anthem. And what eclipses throughout the ages have meant to people who didn't understand them. That story in about 20 minutes. America's top companies, shortly after Election Day, were cautiously optimistic that President Trump's policy goals were their own. But Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fermans says then came the deadly Charlottesville demonstrations in which members of advisory councils then started distancing themselves from the White House. Vanessa, break this down.
First, what happened was simply the events themselves. Companies felt compelled to respond to shareholders, to consumers, to speak out against the racial violence, against the hate groups that had come to Charlottesville in the first place. But what got tricky was when the president responded and gave a more equivocating response, suggesting that both sides, the hate groups and the counter-protesters, were responsible for the violence. And that put companies really in a hot in a hard spot. What made it even more difficult was when the Merck CEO, Kenneth Frazier, one of the few African-American CEOs of a major company, spoke out and said he would be stepping down from one of these presidential councils. I think at that point it became very difficult for other CEOs not to take a stand.
Yeah. How many of these advisory councils are there?
Well, there were two main groups. One was what was called the Strategic and Policy Forum. This was an overall presidential advisory council that was really supposed to be the key conduit for the business community to help the Trump White House shape policy. The other one was a Manufacturing Jobs Council, which is very important both to the Trump administration as well as to the business community. There was a lot of discussion about how not only how to create jobs and keep jobs in the U.S., but what many companies see as a very big issue, and that is jobs retraining and reskilling for the future.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal staff reporter Vanessa Fermans. She's written a piece about these resignations from various presidential advisory councils in the wake of the Charlottesville demonstrations. President Nikita, has any plans to replace any of these folks?
No. I think the president has realized that would probably be next to impossible, at least in a very official forum sort of way. When the companies actually decided to disband last week, the Strategic and Policy Forum, that happened on Wednesday, they called the White House, and then within minutes, President Trump tried to get ahead of the news and tweet that he was disbanding the councils himself. So he said in the tweet that he didn't want to put pressure on these companies anymore to take a side, and so he was going to disband the councils himself. I think what you are going to see, though, is companies still working with the White House behind the scenes. That hasn't changed. That's always happened regardless of what administration, but in a very public, visible way, it just became untenable for these business leaders to continue to hold these council seats at the White House.
Yeah. Did President Obama have these kind of councils? Did he lean on them at all?
He did have these councils, as have had previous administrations. They've been largely almost ceremonial posts in a way. A lot doesn't happen in these meetings, but it does show that the White House, any White House, is listening to the business community, and that the business community is giving some input to the president. And it's also seen as in some ways a call to national service. So the fact that you had CEOs for the first time saying, I don't want a part of this, is pretty pretty significant.
Thanks, Vanessa. Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fermans. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Quick reminder, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We use the username @ThisMorningShow. And if you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Thanks for spending some time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, for many of us, tracking down the correct eyewear was hassle enough leading up to yesterday's total eclipse. But what about unloading them now that it's over? According to Slate.com, just hours after the eclipse, people were looking to make some quick cash by selling their gently used protective glasses. On Craigslist sites for cities in and around the path of totality, dozens of eclipse viewers are now putting up listings for their secondhand spectacles, often for exorbitant prices. Though the best-selling glasses on Amazon are priced at or around $30 to $50 for a pack, it's not uncommon to see used glasses listed for hundreds of dollars on Craigslist. Enterprising vendors have come up with a variety of selling points to justify the steep costs, often describing the glasses as historical artifacts. As one $100 listing in Portland reads, these glasses are a rare treat for anyone who interested in space science. These glasses actually witness the eclipse. And other postings are emphasizing the need to be ready for the next eclipse just a short 7 years from now.
Yes, okay.
You got to get ready.
How about just in 3 minutes flat, you can just make one of these viewing things with a cereal box and some tin foil.
Which is what all of a sudden a lot of people were doing yesterday. So pictures all over Facebook yesterday of people, people making cardboard box viewers.
Because you couldn't buy them online, right? Every place was sold out, it seemed.
Yes, they were. So. And I mean, I saw a lot of postings on my own Facebook page of people selling their glasses, but more as a joke, more saying like, ha, 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 I have these glasses. You know, I also have a bridge to sell you as well.
I was also thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great if more people had posted pictures of themselves wearing solar eclipse sunglasses? Just didn't see enough of that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, what did it really look like out there? Not nearly enough photo evidence. And Gordon, if you're a server or a bartender, the last thing you want to see left behind by a customer is a scratch-off lottery ticket instead of a cash tip, on the assumption that most lottery tickets aren't winners and they'll just go in the trash minutes later. A Maryland bartender, however, was able to turn a couple of scratch-offs into a six-figure prize. Lottery officials say the 32-year-old woman, whose name has not been released, received a pair of instant tickets as a tip recently, and she won $10 from the scratch-offs. She then stopped by a gas station after work and used her winnings to buy a $10 Super Triple 10 scratch-off ticket, which turned out to be a $100,000 winner.
Whoa.
The bartender said she was so shocked by the ticket that she woke up her stepdaughter to double-check that it was a winner. She said she plans to use her windfall to buy a new car, pay off bills, and take a short vacation.
What about invest in retirement savings? No, that didn't come up at all?
I guess not. She was good at reinvesting the winnings from the scratch-off. You know, she gets an A-plus there, but maybe not so much for what she's going to do afterwards. No. I'm sure some of that money will be left over she'll put in the bank.
Promise me?
I have faith in her that she will do the right thing.
14 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Our wars abroad deserve to return to a country that is not at war with itself at home. We cannot remain a force for peace in the world if we are not at peace with each other.
President Trump, during last night's remarks regarding a new tack regarding Afghanistan, Jennifer will be here in just a moment with the details. Meanwhile, don't put away those special solar eclipse glasses just yet. If you missed the eclipse yesterday, you won't need to wait another 99 years to see one. NASA says the next total solar eclipse visible from the U.S. will take place 7 years from now, April 8, 2024. But the next full coast-to-coast eclipse won't appear until 2025. During the 2024, by the way, the moon's shadow will cross the U.S. border in southern Texas, move up into the eastern half of the country, passing over Dallas-Fort Worth, Cleveland, Buffalo, New York, and onto Montreal. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. You've heard me talk about Harry's for some time now. I'm a big fan of the great shave and the convenience of Harry's. No more hassle with razors locked behind the counter. I get a great shave delivered right to my door and save money. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. All you do is cover the cost of shipping. Your free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade. There's also rich lathering shave gel as part of this kit and a travel blade cover. Head over to harrys.com/deal to get it now. That's harrys.com, HARRYS.com, harrys.com/deal. Get started with Harry's today and get their trial set for free. All you cover is just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blades, shave gel, and a travel blade cover, go to harrys.com harrys.com/deal. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. harrys.com/deal. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
More than 40 people were injured when a train crashed into another train that was parked at a station in suburban Philadelphia shortly after midnight. The Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority says an inbound Norristown high-speed line train crashed into an unoccupied park train in Upper Darby, and this man was involved in the crash.
My face hit the wall, put a big hole in the wall, and then I went straight down. I blacked out.
Authorities say at least four people suffered serious injuries. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis says Islamic State militants are now trapped in a military vise that will squeeze them on both sides of the Syria-Iraq border. Mattis arrived in Baghdad on an unannounced visit today, just hours after President Trump outlined a fresh approach to the stalemated war in Afghanistan.
We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists.
Trump also vowed to take a more aggressive, effective approach against ISIS in Iraq and Syria, but he has yet to unveil a strategy for that conflict that differs greatly from his predecessors. President Trump is trying to recapture the fervor that helped put him in office with a campaign-style rally in Arizona today, but he's also likely to face major protests over his immigration policies and his comments about Charlottesville. Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton says this is not the time for such a rally, and he called on Trump to cancel his visit.
I did not feel it was the right time to do it. It was too close after Charlottesville. That was such a difficult situation, not only for the people in Charlottesville, but for all Americans. And so the campaign-style rally so shortly thereafter, I did not think was appropriate.
Trump plans to also visit the Mexican border at Yuma before the political rally in Phoenix. Well, with college football kicking off this weekend, the preseason top 25 is out, and surprise, surprise, Alabama number one, followed by Ohio State, Florida State, and USC. And we'll get a top-tier early matchup this year when number one Alabama faces number three FSU on September 2nd.
Who do you like? Who are your teams to watch at this point? I know you've been crunching numbers all summer.
Can't argue with Alabama.
Alabama
one.
Still. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. We've known for years that the Great American Eclipse would cross the country from Oregon to South Carolina on August 21st yesterday, but imagine how freaked out you'd be if you didn't know it was coming. USA Today says myths in many cultures claimed animals such as dragons, frogs, snakes, or jaguars devoured the sun during a solar eclipse, then regurgitated or excreted it back out. Vikings thought eclipses were caused by two great wolves chasing the sun and moon across the sky. Several deaths of famous people have occurred around eclipses, fueling the fear. Charlemagne's son, Emperor Louis the Pious in 840, the prophet Muhammad's son, Ibrahim, and in England, King Henry I died shortly after an eclipse in 1133. But it always wasn't bad news. A total eclipse in 585 BC occurred during a war in eastern Turkey between the Lydians and Medes. Greek historian Herodotus reported the combatants were so disturbed by the sight of the sun being devoured that they stopped fighting and made peace. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.